You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Dance, monkey, dance. Hi, people. You're like humans, and I can, like, see you and all that, rather than going, okay, all right. And my kids have been awesome, but even kind of like, I'm moving this way. Okay, so it's nice that your heads move. And Garrett, and I want to say Levi, and Billy, and Alexis, like, I hate putting lyrics on slides. It is so much work, and I just am so grateful for you guys for doing that. And like, you're just clicking. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So thank you so much. I'm going to be done by 11. So, like, all sorts of miracles are happening right now. So we'll see how this goes. I realize I appreciate your kids and everybody being in here and having to put up with all this. But I've asked Chloe, right? You're going to come up? You with me? All right, good. Okay, good. Yeah, Chloe Hale. Give it up for Chloe Hale. Is going to come and give me a hand here. All right. And we're going to be a part of a little relay activity. Can you turn on the main room button? Or just hit everything to turn it all on. Then I can see people's faces. Right now you're like silhouettes. It's like you're trying to tell me you like Frosted Flakes. And that's only for old people that understand that reference. Okay, so what we're going to do here is you and I are going to be like in a two-part relay race, okay? You've got a massive amount of bean bags here. Some are less beanie than others. And then here's a bucket here, okay? And what we're going to do, being careful of, you know, obstructions and everything, you're going to stand here, and we have 20 seconds, okay? And you're going to throw them. You can't turn your feet, but you're going to throw them like over your shoulder to me. Okay? And then I am going to catch them and put them into the bucket. And we're going to see after 20 seconds how many we can get in the bucket. Does that make sense? All right. So do you want to stand there? We'll do a practice one. All right. So you're going to do that. All right. Ready? So we'll just practice. Go. Practice. Yay. Go. Okay. Good. That's good. Okay. Good. Let's do. Hold on. Stop. Okay. There is a guitar there. So I'm sure it doesn't cost much. So that's what we're going to do. And do you think she's going to do a great job here? Yeah, I thought so. All right. I think we've got this. So we have a 20-second countdown. I'm going to be cheering you on. We are in this together. Okay? So are you ready? Go ahead and hit that 20-second countdown. All right, Chloe, come on. You got it. Good job. You're doing a great job. Well done. Oh, excellent throw. Good. Oh, really good. Okay, good. The other way a little bit more. No, the other way. The other side. There you go. Oh, perfect. Excellent. Oh, 6 seconds. Go, keep going. Come on. We can get more. Oh, well done. Oh, excellent. Wow, what a great throw. That was wonderful. All right. You did a great job. We didn't get any in, but I think that might have been my fault, because I don't know if you were even paying attention, because she's such a good sport. All I was doing, I wasn't actually helping her. I was just cheering you on. I was telling you some great things, but I didn't actually help you with the game at all. I just watched. One even hit me in the chest and just fell to the ground. So thank you very much, Chloe. You can have a seat. And I want to talk about this idea of words without actions. You probably saw where we're going. We're in this series called Dupes. And as you've seen multiple times, a dupe is a fake. It's a poser. And I need to be able to see that clock. Okay. And James, the book of James, is all about this idea of fake faith versus real faith. This idea of being a poser, of being a wannabe, and going through the motions thinking that you're good, and James is like, actually, you're not. And the book of James is incredible. Like, people, just real quick, this is kind of off the subject, but well, that's not, it's on the subject. But people are like, oh, the Bible isn't relevant for today. Let's just talk about where we have been through this book of James over the last month. We'll wrap it up here in, what's this, June, right? So the first week we talked about dupes run. This is just, stay here. Dupes run from difficulties, real faith embraces it. So the Bible was talking about difficulty. That's irrelevant for us today. Right, totally. And then the second week we talked about dupes just read the Bible, But real faith obeys it. So talking about how, you know, the Bible is important to actually obey. And then the last time I taught, which was 3 weeks ago, we talked about dupes enable prejudice, where real faith sees the person Jesus died for. And of course, the idea of stereotype and prejudice and racism, that's totally irrelevant for today as well. But the Bible, like, come on, this is stuff. We've been talking about this and how incredible. So this week, the point that I want us to talk about in the next 20 seconds, I mean minutes, next 20 minutes, is that dupes feel bad, but real faith does something. And this idea of what's often called slacktivism, it's like, oh, if I post something on Facebook about somebody, like, oh, my thoughts and prayers are with you, then that's it, then that's the end. And yes, we've reached our goal, we've done what we need to do. Or we're like, hey, I'm going to help you out. Or let's play a relay, and I'm going to so encourage you. Chloe, you've got this. But not actually doing something, that person that doesn't actually do something, they're a dupe. And if we think we can follow Jesus and walk through our lives just saying kind words, and not that words are bad. We'll talk about words in a couple more weeks. But if that's it, then we're not actually doing what Jesus has called us to do. We're not being who Jesus has called us to be. We're just fakers. You're just a dupe. You're just a poser. And so I want to talk about this as we continue here. We're in James chapter 2. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read it ahead of time. We're just going to kind of go through. But I'm in James 2. We're going to start at chapter 2, verse 14. And I want to talk about this idea of feeling versus faith. And when I say feeling too, I understand, like, there's nothing wrong with feeling bad. Like, your heart can break for a situation. You can mourn with someone. And the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. But if we're kind of like, hey, I felt bad, and so I'm good, I'm done, then we're missing the fact that feeling isn't enough. Faith and feeling are not the same thing. Faith is something that's different because it doesn't just stop at the feeling part. And that's what we'll see here in a second. So the first thing that James points out here in verses 14 to 17 is that faith requires doing. Faith requires doing. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you are required to do. It is expected. It is inextricably linked. It is connected. It is part of faith. Anything less than doing is not real faith. And again, this whole book, as I've been talking to the camera, and you've been listening over the last month, you know, looking at what is a fake versus real, and how often, you know, sometimes we know we're faking it, but a lot of times we're kind of like, oh, this is good enough. And James is kind of like, no, it's more than just feeling. It requires doing. And that's what he says in verses 14 to 17. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but has no deeds? And the Greek word there is action, following that with doing something. He says, can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you said to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed. Like, you feel there's emotion, there's passion there. I really hope it works out for you. But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And this word, the Greek word is nekros, the word for death, decay. Our faith, if it doesn't have action tied to it, it's dead. What good is it to say we're going to be on a team and play, you know, do an activity, a relay game together, and if all I'm doing is talking but not actually helping? And let's talk about sports, right? You know, there's so many different people. You probably played on a team. We're like, oh, yeah, I struck out every time. It was the bat. It was the ball. It was the sun in my eye. It was everything. But actually, you know, why don't you just do something instead of talk, like play? So James says that faith requires action. You have to do something. If you don't do something, it's not actually faith. Like, it's not true following of Jesus. And this will make sense as we move forward here in the passage. The second thing that he says is that faith is more than knowing. And again, especially like if you grew up in church, I think this is one of the big challenges. Like, I grew up in my church, and if you wanted to know more about Jesus, if you want to grow in Jesus, you went to another class. If you wanted to be discipled, there was a discipleship class for that. You went and you learned and you knew stuff. And it was almost implied that knowing is the end. Oh, I know a lot. But as G.I. Joe would say, knowing is only half the battle. Again, I'm old, sorry. But faith is more than knowing. We can't stop at just knowing. And just from since the Industrial Revolution, essentially, you know, our American culture has been about knowledge and learning things and understanding how things work. And it's incredible. I mean, there's medicine, there's all sorts of amazing things because of people that have learned things. But we have to sometimes be careful that we don't make that what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because following Jesus isn't just knowing, it's more than that. And so this is what James says in verses 18 and 19. He says, but someone will say, well, you have faith, but I have deeds. Like get off my back, you know, about this thing. I'm not really a doer. I'm just a faither. I just feel things. I have this faith. And James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Like, James is dropping the mic right there. You think you're about faith? Show me your faith. Do something. If you're not doing something, what you have isn't faith. Stop calling yourself a follower of Jesus if you're not actually doing the things that Jesus has called you to do. Because it's not faith. He says, you believe that there is one God? Great! Good! But even the demons believe that and shudder. James says, look, it's not about knowing. Demons know that God is real. But that doesn't mean that they have faith in Jesus. That means they're not followers of Jesus. It's not just about knowing. Our faith as followers is about doing. It's about action. It requires us to do something about it. Because even the demons know. And then the third thing here, and this is the faith is cut off by an inaction. It's cut off by an action. An inaction, that means not doing. Another way I could have worded this, it's got a lot of baggage tied to it, but faith is aborted by an action. Because it's something that's supposed to be moving this way and suddenly it's cut short. Because if we don't do it, if we don't do with our faith, we are cutting short what God has designed us to be, to do. And so that's what James kind of wraps up. He shares a couple of examples here from Abraham and from Rahab from the Old Testament. And so here's what verses 20 to 26 says. He says, you foolish person. By the way, the Greek word there, a fair translation of that Greek word is dupe. You dupe. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Like, don't you get it? Do you want evidence? Do you need proof? He says, wasn't our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. So the idea here is that, you know, if God said to Abraham, I want you to offer your son. And Abraham says, yeah, I totally feel that, God. I'm with you, man. Yeah. Hashtag following Jesus. I'm posting it online. I'm all about offering my son. And basically James is saying, no. His faith wasn't proven until he actually placed his son on the altar. That's where the faith became real. Otherwise, it was just a myth. And if you guys remember a couple of years ago, I talked about the wheelbarrow on the tightrope, you know, and this great tightrope guy and how everybody was like, oh, yeah, we're sure you can carry a human across the tightrope. But as soon as he asked someone to jump in, they're like, nope, because they didn't actually have real faith. Faith actually does. It has action tied to it. And it's this idea of it was made complete. So what he did completed his faith. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now, some of you are like, whoa, I thought it was all about faith. It was all about faith alone. And Ephesians 2 says, Works never lead to faith. Your actions will never lead you to Jesus. Ephesians 2, Paul says that it's not by your works, it's not by your actions. You don't earn your way to God. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to make it. So works do not lead to faith. But faith always leads to works. Because if it's not doing something, then it's not real faith. Because you can talk about it all you want, but until you're willing to actually step in and place your child on the altar, then you're demonstrating faith. And just for the record, like, think about like a bicycle. If you have a multi-speed bike, you can pedal backwards all you want and you're never going to get anywhere. And that's this idea of works. You can try all you want, to try to get your works, your good deeds, whatever, to earn your way to God, you're never going to get there. But when you pedal forward and go in the opposite direction, then your faith leads to works. And that's kind of this idea. Like, it's just impossible to earn your way to God. But as soon as you, if you say that you're a follower of Jesus, it is going to lead to action. It has to. Otherwise, it's not real faith. And then he goes on and talks about Rahab. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So James just says, you know, another example. And of course, he's talking to an audience. We talked about this, well, yeah, online. I don't know. The first week of, what was it in the last month? May. The first week of May, and how this was kind of written to all these followers of Jesus that were Jewish, that were spread about. So they knew the story of Abraham. They knew the story of Rahab. And their faith was demonstrated by their action. It was because of what they did. And for us as followers of Jesus, our faith is demonstrated by what we do. It's a matter of doing. And if you don't do, then it's not real faith. I mean, there's plenty of ideas along that line. So like you think about, you know, I don't know what your middle school or elementary school cafeteria table was like. You know, oh, I dare you to eat that. Oh, I'd eat that. Oh, I dare you to. I'd eat that. I'd totally eat that. Oh, yeah, yeah, I bet you would. Oh, I would. And until you actually eat whatever that is, and I'm sure Scott had, he was involved in a lot of this. He's still involved in those kind of things. I dare you to eat that. But like until you actually eat it, then you're actually saying, yeah, I believe. I think I could do it. And so that's what James is talking about here, is that feeling versus faith. We can't just feel, we can't just use words, we can't just kind of have this idea like, yeah, I feel bad for you, or I'm sorry, or my thoughts and prayers are with you, and I know that people mean well, I'm not trying to mock that, but if you can just say my thoughts and prayers are with you and be like, check, I'm good, then we've missed that faith is actually doing. Faith requires doing. You can't not do and consider what you are faithful. You're a dupe. If you say you're following Jesus but not actually doing the things that Jesus says, you're not following Jesus. You're lying to yourself. And it's not a matter of just getting stuck at knowledge. Knowledge is good. It changes our hearts. We learn things and we grow in different ways. But if we're like, oh, I know a lot, and then stop without actually doing something with what you've known, with what you know, then it's not faith. And of course, the faith is cut off. Like if we're like, oh yeah, this is good, and then we actually don't do something, we've cut short what this faith, this following Jesus thing. Because dupes feel bad. But real faith does something. And understand that. Get that. We need to, just feeling bad isn't enough. We need to do something. So let me just share a couple of quick things. I'm managing this. This is working. I'm going to go pass out when I'm done. But I want to talk about the downside of doing. If we're followers of Jesus, and it means we actually are doing something with our faith. We're not just feeling bad about it. We're not just talking about it. We're not just blogging about it. We're not just throwing out ideas about how all the other people should change. If we're not actually doing something ourselves, then we're not a follower of Jesus. We're not following Jesus the way we're supposed to. But there are some downsides to doing, and I think we need to be prepared for that. There are some negatives, if you will, because doing, let's just be straight, if it was easy and convenient, we wouldn't have a problem. But there's a downside. And again, it's not a downside because it's bad, but just be aware of these things before we get, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, just be aware of what you're getting into. The first thing is that doing is inconvenient. Doing is inconvenient. Doing things for other people, if it's not on your timeline, then you don't do it, then you've missed it. Doing is inconvenient. It's something that we have to do even when we don't want to. I was talking to my kids the other day, and just something with the atmosphere, the heat when we were working on a project reminded me of a missions trip. And I was thinking about and I'm not referring to any of you that are in here, but in my previous church when I was a youth pastor, because we would bring middle school boys on some of our missions trips. And, like, what you need to bring when you bring a middle school boy on a missions trip is you need to bring, like, someone else with a whip. You need to, like, oh, okay, what grade are you in? And who's your, who are you bringing along with the whip? Because it's like, hey, we need to move this thing. And the middle school boy's like, okay. are you doing? Get up. We're not done. Wait, you just spent like hundreds of dollars to go across the world so that you can move that bucket over there and then stop. And it's like, okay, we need to move more of these buckets. Oh, okay. Like, no, just keep working. Keep doing something. Like, but it's so hard. Do you think the rest of us are here? Anyway, because doing is inconvenient. It means you're going to have to do things that you don't want to do when you don't want to do them. And it doesn't mean all the time. And obviously there's priorities and other things that you need to take into account. But if we're just like, well, I'm doing this when it's easy for me, then you probably missed what it actually means to follow Jesus. And in Luke chapter 10, I think it was a year ago this month or last month, we did a series called Welcome to the Neighborhood, all about the Good Samaritan. And let me just read this story real quick. It says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. So he's dead, kind of beat up, kind of in a bad spot there. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A little inconvenient. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan, who were the enemies at the time, and again, if you go to Welcome to the Neighborhood, listen to the point, go to the Welcome to the Neighborhood series, we broke this down into 4 weeks looking at each of the characters. And we had Mr. Rogers join us all series long. Anyway, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Okay, so right there, he felt compassion. And if he stopped there, then his faith would have been like, oh, I feel bad for that guy. But look what happens. He going over to him. See, everyone else went away because it was inconvenient. But he went over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. See, the Samaritan, unlike the other two people, which, by the way, again, if you were here, you remember this from last year, the temple priest and the temple assistant, they were supposed to be the heroes of the story. The Samaritan was supposed to be the enemy, but it flipped around. So the guy that was despised took the effort. It was inconvenient and went over and helped the man. So the first thing you need to understand is if you're going to get involved in doing, if you're going to follow Jesus the way we're called to be, if you're not going to be a dupe and a faker, it's going to be inconvenient. We need to realize that. Know what you're getting into, that doing is inconvenient. The second thing you need to understand is that doing is messy. Doing is messy. It's not always going to be clean. It's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be working out the way you want. As we talked about in the creative team meeting like 6 years ago when we talked about the series, it seems. Doing isn't Insta-worthy. Sometimes it doesn't always work to be like hashtag living the dream, you know, and when you're doing this, because sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's not pretty. And Jesus demonstrated this in Mark chapter 1. It says a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. Now, first of all, we need to understand a few things. Leprosy is a horrible skin disease, especially, you know, 2,000 years ago. And people, like, literally parts of their bodies are falling off. It is a horrendously awful-looking thing and extremely contagious to the point where someone with leprosy, if they had that disease, they were required by law to walk down the opposite side of the street away from everyone else, some serious social distancing, and they had to yell, unclean, unclean, as soon as anyone got in the vicinity. Imagine trying to do that, all of us, like, okay, if you're within 6 feet of someone, you need to start yelling something out. So they would actually have to stay away from everyone else. And they would have to yell out unclean. But this man came in front of Jesus. He went to Jesus and knelt in front of him, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Like, this is tied into the unclean idea. You can heal me. And then it says, move with compassion. And again, we stop there. Oh, I feel really bad for your condition. Now get away from me so I don't get it. Like, that's gross. That's dirty. Ew, is that your ear? Like, but what happened? Jesus reached out and touched him. He touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. But the fact that Jesus, he touched someone that shouldn't have been touched. We sang a song last week called Reckless Love. And the fact that Jesus, that God's love for us is reckless according to the standards of the world at the time. To touch a person that was leprous, that is messy. You do not do that. Jesus made a Samaritan the hero of a story. Jesus talked to a woman at the well. In his time, all of those things would be considered, what are you doing? You don't belong with those people. You shouldn't be talking to them. You shouldn't be around that type of person. But Jesus' love was reckless. He was known as the man that ate with tax collectors and sinners. Like all of those things in the society of the time was this like messiness, grossness. You don't do that if you're a good person. And Jesus says, no, it's not about being pretty. It's not about a nice Instagram moment. It's about doing something. And it's going to be messy sometimes. It's going to require us to get our hands dirty and get involved. So doing is inconvenient. Doing is messy. And the third thing is that doing is humbling. Because when we actually step out and serve other people, we're going to have to put ourselves beneath them. We're going to have to put ourselves beneath their station in life, whatever that is. We're going to have to give up our rights to do that, because sometimes there's things that we have to do for the sake of other people. And this is what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5, in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. So Jesus is like, no, if someone does something to you, don't get them back. He says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, which is considered at that time one of the ultimate insults. I challenge you to a duel, and they slap you. There was a movie where someone did that, and they had like a metal gauntlet. Did anybody, maybe, okay, probably shouldn't talk about that movie. I don't know what it is. It might be a bad movie. So that didn't really happen, perhaps. But the idea is, if they slap you on the right cheek, if that is the ultimate insult, just give them the other cheek. You know, we're not here to get back at you. We're here to serve. We're to give up ourselves. We're going to humble ourselves. He said, if you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. See, the law at the time was if you did something against someone that required financial reparations, financial repayment, they could sue you in court. And they could take basically everything you had except for your coat, because that was considered unreasonable. You need at least a coat that you could stay warm in. And so he said, if you're sued in court and they take your shirt, give them your coat too. Like, it's not about you and what you deserve. It's about serving others. And then he says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear a mile, which the law required, a Roman soldier could conscript any Jewish person as part of under their authority of the empire, said, you are required to carry my armor, and they would have to carry it by law 1 mile. And at 1 mile, boom, drop it, done. And Jesus says, if they ask you to carry it, go the second mile. Carry it 2 miles. Because when it comes to doing, we have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to put you above me. I'm willing to humble myself for the sake of caring for someone else, for the sake of doing something for someone else. And so that's something that we need to realize. So when it comes to this idea of doing, there's a downside. It is inconvenient. It is messy. And it's humbling. And we just need to understand that when we go into that, if all of our doing is, you know, first of all, just words, feeling moved with compassion, thoughts and prayers with you, and if we only do, well, I don't know, I can't really help in that situation, so I'm not going to because I don't really want to. It's going to mess up my schedule. And I get schedules, okay? Like, I get it. Or this idea, oh, that's too messy, I don't really want to get involved in that. And have you been around people? Maybe not. Like, no, I've been social distance for the last 2 months. But people are messy. And if we're going to get in each other's lives, if we're going to be there for each other, if we're going to serve one another, if we're going to do, it's going to be messy. And we also have to realize that it's humbling. We're not going to always look like the winner. We're not always going to look like the superior. We're not always going to look like the best of the best, because we're just here to do. Because dupes feel bad. But real faith does something. So let's just be careful that we don't just use words. And again, we'll come to words in a couple of weeks. Words matter. But if we stop there and say, oh, I feel bad for you. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, it's a bummer that you lost that thing, or that you're struggling financially, or all that. Oh, I'm so sorry. But maybe you go, I'm so sorry. Here's some money to help you through this time. I'm so sorry. What can I do for your family? Like, the difference there between just feeling but actually doing something. If we're ending with the feeling, then we're a dupe. It's not really following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how amazing it is to be together. And I thank you that God, being together isn't because there's other humans in this room. Being together is so powerful because there is my brothers and sisters, your church, the Holy Spirit, Him living inside each of us as your followers. And there is some power in the fact that we are together as your church, as the body of Christ. And I just thank you that we are able to do this. And thank you that we're able to worship you in this way. And God, I pray for us as we look at our lives, as we go and look in the mirror. This isn't about pointing fingers. This is about looking at ourselves to determine, are we really just going through the motions? Or are we dupes? Are we fakes? Or are we actually following you the way you've called us to? And God, that means that we need to do something. That means we need to do, we need to serve, we need to help, and not just sit back and have a feeling about it. God, I pray that you would use those feelings to stir us to action, just as the Samaritan was moved to compassion and crossed the road, just as Jesus was moved with compassion and touched the leper. I pray that you would help us to do something with our faith and honor you in that. Thank you so much for your great love for us. And as Kirk prayed earlier, as we've sung, God, you are faithful. You are faithful to us. Thank you for being the anchor in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.